This is the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z.
We are exactly 6 months away from the election in the U.S. Today, we're unveiling a brand new CNBC Generation Lab poll on where voters from 18 to 34 stand on key issues such as the economy, work, and their lives. When we ask who they would vote for right now, it's really just neck and neck between President Biden and former President Trump at 36% and 35% respectively. Also, nearly 30% supporting Robert Kennedy Jr. As for which candidate would be better in the economy, Trump edges out Biden by a 6-point margin. Let's discuss this further now with Cyrus Beschloss, founder and CEO of Generation Lab. Cyrus, good morning from London. I think my first question is, based on this data, why? Why do these people, 18 to 34, why do they believe that Trump is better for the economy?
It's a great question. Biden won the youth vote by 24 points in 2020. So this data that you just highlighted, this is part of a long slide of data that's documented Biden sliding with young voters. RFK, as you mentioned, is a massive wild card here. He's got 29% in the survey. You can't expect that number to drop before November as young people learn about some of RFK's passions. They don't square too closely with young voters. And given recent events, a lot of smart people have said that the war in Gaza will decide the youth vote one way or another.
And I disagree. I think young people looking at their empty wallets, the rising prices due to Bidenomics and Bidenflation, will be the cause for a massive defection from the Democrats to the Republicans because they saw what Donald Trump did just 3.5 short years ago to help every sector of the economy. The wealthy did well, and that trickled down to the middle class, and that trickled down to younger people. Those younger people, 18 to 34, only 3 years ago, were 15 to 31 years in age. I don't think the war in Gaza is going to affect too many people other than the hoity-toity, very white-privileged anti-Israel faction that has been indoctrinated only in the past few months to divert attention away from Biden's disastrous economy. That piece, by the way, was a CNBC piece, and it was aired, I believe, yesterday or the day before, but I had to play that for you just to give you a perspective. Even the progressive liberal woke networks are conceding that Biden is, as they said, and I quote, sliding, unquote. You're listening to the Truth Hurts program. Laura Ingraham, in her opening monologue on the Fox News Channel, accurately had this to say.
Now, something's happening out there. More Americans are seeing that the country is broken under Biden and that the promises Biden made were lies. That chaos is the only thing he's accomplished, certainly the only thing he's producing. Then there's one guy who walked through the fire for him.
And that's a fact. More and more Americans are seeing that. And that's how Donald Trump managed to get early estimates or 80,000, other estimates saying as many as 100,000 in New Jersey for an impromptu rally. And those people didn't just come from the Garden State. Many came down from Connecticut, Maine, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, New York, came over from Pennsylvania, you know, where Scranton is located, all to see Donald Trump, who basically was speaking the truth about Joe Biden's disastrous economy, whereas Joe Biden was lying, trying to make people believe the lie that inflation was 9% when he took office, and we all know that to be a lie.
As you can see today, we're expanding the electoral map because we are going to officially play in the state of New Jersey. We're going to win the state of New Jersey, but we're also looking really great in the state of Minnesota and the state of Virginia. All across America, millions of people in so-called blue states are joining our movement based on love, intelligence, and a thing called common sense.
Because while gropey Joe Biden and Camel Toe Harris are out there lying to the American people, dropping the F-bomb because they think it's cool. By the way, on that F-bomb from Camel Toe Harris, nobody blinked an eye at CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, ABC. Nobody batted an eye that the vice president is using vulgar language because she does it all the time. I remember a time when George W. Bush was the president of the United States, and in an off-camera hot mic moment, he accidentally said the word shit. And the mainstream media was saying how unpresidential that was, how unprofessional, how vulgar it was that George W. Bush accidentally let the word shit slip out. Well, it's okay, because Kamala told Harris she'd be a half-black girl and she can get away with that, right? It's okay. It's part of the black culture to drop the F-bomb or the N-word that rhymes with bigger. It's okay because she's half-black, like her hero, Barack Hussein Barry Sotero Obama. But I digress. Now, while 80 to 100,000 people at the last minute arrive in New Jersey to cheer on Donald Trump, the big question always remains, how many of those people will still be energized enough in November to go out and vote? I am begging you to please go out and vote. And you heard the cheers, the crowds, 100,000 people out there cheering and chanting for Donald Trump. And let's contrast this with the Joe Biden recent rally and listen just how unenergetic, how uninvolved, how totally different the Joe Biden, and I'll use the term loosely, crowd. They had about 20 people in a room at a Joe Biden fundraiser. But take a listen. It sounds more like a funeral procession.
Everybody thinks that the pond company is the biggest thing in Delaware. The biggest thing in Delaware are chickens.
Trump, I am the reason why Roe v. Wade was overturned.
I need you. I need you badly. I need the help. Kamala and I desperately need your help.
It's like listening to The Undertaker speaking. The man has no energy. He has no focus. And listening to the crowd, and I was watching the video that accompanied those three different stops, the people in the crowd didn't even have the energy or the ability, I don't think, to lift their hands and applaud him. Dead silence when he said, I desperately need you to come out and support Kamala and I. Kamala and I? Isn't it Kamala? You can't even pronounce the first name of your foul-mouthed vice president, the half-black Camel Toe Harris? Come on, man. Now, the Biden administration, with their weaponized Justice Department and all of these fake, phony, made-up, manufactured trials against the former president, not doing what they had hoped, not dragging Trump down in the polls, Donald Trump being tied up in a courtroom in New York by judges' orders so that he can't go out on campaign events, he can't fly across the country to California, to Washington State, to Oregon, to Nevada, to Arizona, because time simply would not allow it. Even if he flew his personal jet at top speed, he would not be able to accurately and adequately provide his message to the people out there and then be back in time for court the next day. Despite all of that, finally, we're seeing some Republican supporters of Donald Trump, some politicians on the right, going out and being a substitute, a surrogate for Donald Trump. And yesterday afternoon, several of them, including the Republican governor of, I believe, North Dakota, well, they went out and made the case for Donald Trump. Take a listen to this exchange.
Of course, is it's election interference and it's tying up the president from being out on the campaign trail. And of course, we know that from the polls that have come out, even from the New York Times, Rasmussen Interactive this week, President Trump is leading all over the country. And the conclusion you could draw from that is the American people have already acquitted Donald Trump because the things that they're concerned about, inflation, crime, the border, the economy, all of these things, President Trump is leading by huge double digits versus Joe Biden. And the sooner that this scam trial can be concluded, the sooner that the president can get back to getting out, campaigning, and talking to the American people about the issues that matter to them. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the congressman, then Vivek. Thank you.
Congressman Byron Donalds, an African-American Republican congressman from Florida, spoke next.
Ladies and gentlemen of America, this trial is a joke. This thing is a farce. We were in there all morning. Michael Cohen basically sat there and said, yeah, he invoiced legal expenses. The Trump campaign, the Trump organization, not the campaign, paid out money in legal expenses. Where's the crime? There is no crime. The only crime that's happening here is this Democrat judge and the Democrat Party prosecuting their political rival right in the middle of a presidential election. The crime here is that the issues facing our nation are not being addressed by the Democrats, but they want to go after Donald Trump. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing that has been wrong here. Nothing that has been done poorly by President Trump. The only thing that's being done wrong is by this judge. His daughter's making money, raising money for Democrats. And all of the fundraising emails and all the fundraising things are about this trial that his daughter is using. He won't recuse himself. This is a travesty of justice. This is a misuse of the justice system. And look around New York. New York's got plenty of issues. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. You have all of NYPD's finest down here because of this travesty going on in that courtroom. Meanwhile, the citizens of New York are less safe. And the district attorney in New York is not prosecuting real crime. He's a Soros-backed DA going after his chief political rival in Donald Trump. America is better than this. And so, unfortunately, it's going to take the American people this November to let their voices be heard on this travesty of justice that's occurring and making sure that Donald Trump is the 47th president of the United States. I've never seen anything like it. This is a joke. It is a farce. It is a travesty. We are better than this as Americans. And unfortunately, the Democrat Party has lost their ever-loving minds. And so it's going to take the American people to remind them that justice is supposed to be blind. It is not supposed to be going after political opponents and political rivals. With that, I'll turn it over to my colleague from Florida, Congressman Corey Mills.
Thank you so much. What have we learned here today? What we've learned is that Michael Cohen, who has no credibility, who has purged himself multiple times, who has zero integrity, has actually admitted to defrauding the Trump Organization. He has listed his invoice as being an actual legal precedent, where, in fact, he's now claiming that it's something other than that, and that he knowingly and fraudulently put that forward. Look, as we talked about, why do they want this trial to continue? Well, they want it to continue because this is the fundraising source for Adam Schiff, for Biden, and for the Democrat opponents. This is nothing more than election interference at its finest. You are seeing where the weaponization of what was the Department of Justice, now the Department of Injustice, has continued to be utilized against the American people and against the President of the United States. I will tell you right now, the same way that I stand here steadfast behind our president, I know that America stands with him as well. They see this sham indictment. They see this for what it is without any actual substance whatsoever. Keep in mind, they keep actually talking about the FEC violations, but when you're utilizing personal funds or you're utilizing a trust, that is not campaign funding. There is no violation, which is why the FEC never actually even pursued this. And so I think the American people see this for what it is. They want to keep President Trump off the campaign trail. They're seeing what's happening in the swing states across America, and they're seeing exactly that this is draining down assets and resources that can be utilized by the president to continue to forge ahead, to build a stronger economy, to secure our border, and to get our nation back on track. This is a sham, and that is the only thing this is. Michael Cohen has no credibility, no integrity, and this is weaponization against our president.
Next, Vivek Ramaswamy.
I want to thank my colleagues, Governor Burgum, Congressman Mills, and Congressman Donalds, for laying out the political backdrop here. This is a politicized persecution that is nakedly apparent. What I want to do is dive a little bit deeper into what we actually learned today in that courtroom. What do we see in there? First of all, I learned a lot from being in there in person. It is one of the most depressing places I have been in my life, but it is fitting because the only thing more depressing than the environment of that courtroom is what's actually happening in there. It's straight out of a Kafka novel. The prosecution's main strategy appears to be to bore the jurors into submission. And if you look in that direction, sadly, it may appear to actually be working. Now, I would like for anybody here in the press, anybody at home, anybody in MSNBC or the media afterwards, to clearly state what exactly is the crime that Donald Trump committed. Oh, wait. We have not heard a good answer to that question. It has been vague until today. You heard Michael Cohen's testimony, after which I would say it is less clear than ever what that crime actually was. They'll say falsifying business records. Well, let's look at who did we learn falsified business records today? Yet, what, hour, 2 hours? Felt like it could have been 7 hours. Of Michael Cohen talking about how he falsified business records. Okay, so you have a guy who has been a perjurer in the past that is now saying he falsified business records. What is the crime that Donald Trump committed? Now, it appears to be what they might allege is some sort of bookkeeping error or whatever. The real bookkeeping that we need accounting of is Judge Merchant's own family member collecting millions of dollars as a Democratic operative, using the existence of this trial as a fundraising ploy for Democrats. This is unconscionable. Imagine if the same shoe fit the other foot. Imagine if it was Joe Biden that was on trial. You had a Republican judge whose son was collecting millions of dollars as a Republican operative. What would you all be saying? This would not be justice. This is injustice at its worst. So let's go even a layer deeper, right? Because let's go even a layer deeper, actually. The alleged crime here is supposedly, they try to point to this every day, that he does not actually use campaign funds, that he used personal funds. Well, let's get this straight. Suppose Donald Trump had used campaign funds to make a personal expense, they'd be going after him for that. So if they're going to get him going or they're going to get him coming, that is the best proof that this is a politicized sham. Let's go through it piece by piece. If you tell somebody to go buy you a suit and you want to look good on television because that'll affect the voters, the way voters vote for you, you know what? They prosecute politicians if they use campaign funds to buy a suit. If they say, go get a haircut, if you use campaign funds to get a haircut because you want to look good to the voters, they will actually prosecute you for using campaign funds for a personal expense. Yet the entire legal theory of this case, the whole case that Alvin Bragg has brought, depends on one premise for them to charge this as a felony, is that Donald Trump somehow should have used campaign funds to make an allegedly personal payment. Yet if he had done that, their case against him would be even stronger. This is garbage. That is the best proof that you have that if they're going to get him going or get him coming, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. This is a sham. This is not the United States of America. This is some third-rate banana republic. If this were happening in another country, we would be laughing at them as a sham democracy. I am ashamed as an American citizen to sit here in a courtroom watching the former leader of the free world, and let's be honest, likely next leader of the free world, sitting with the indignity in this dingy third-rate courtroom with fourth-rate prosecutors and a fifth-rate lawyer on the stand as a witness, who actually is violating attorney-client privilege left and right. Nobody's even talking about that. So this is a shame, shame on the spirit in our country's history, but we will get through it and be stronger because you know who ultimately actually cast the vote on this case? It's not just the jurors in that jury box. It's every one of you at home. It's every American who votes this November to say no to the weaponization of justice. And if you're at home, you may say, you know what, I don't agree with everything Donald Trump's ever said. You know what, I may not agree with some of his policies even though they were great policies for 4 years. But you do agree, whether you are Democrat or Republican or black or white or gay or straight or man or woman, that our justice system should be blind to politics. That regardless of whether your last name is Biden or Trump, regardless of whether you've been a politician or not, you get a fair shake in our own legal system. And when you have a prosecutor who campaigned on the pledge of going after Trump and then keeps his campaign pledge, when you have a judge whose kids are collecting money from Democratic operatives by fundraising off the very trial that that judge is presiding over, and then telling the U.S. president that he's subject to a gag order, that he can't talk about it, that is not justice. That is a bastardization of what this country was founded on. And I'm here, and all of us are here, as friends of Donald Trump, supporting him in our personal capacity, sharing our opinions. That's why we're here today. But I hope every American at home who isn't able to be in that courtroom is able to see what's actually happening there. And when you do, we will have a landslide of historic proportion this November if every American understands the injustice that's playing out in that courtroom today. So may God bless our country. I pray for our future. And let's pray for our country being stronger on the other side of this disgusting sham politician prosecution.
All right, folks, I could go on and on because these people are out there speaking the truth. And that truth does hurt. And unfortunately, that truth includes the fact that Michael Cohen, an already multi-time proven perjurer, a man who is an attorney who has lied on the stand, I believe he's been disbarred at least once, right? Is that correct? Yes. Okay. He is up there lying, but even in his lies, he's vindicating, he's clearing the name of Donald Trump. He has broken attorney-client privilege, as Vivek Ramaswamy just pointed out, and he's a known liar. But he also came out with some facts, some truths, because not every liar lies every word. You have to read between the lies and read between the lines sometimes. And Michael Cohen has admitted that it was he, Michael Cohen, who falsified business documents, claiming that he did so to help his buddy, Donald Trump, but Donald Trump has never been his buddy. what Michael Cohen, a man who is so self-important that he thinks he is high and mighty, doesn't realize is he was just another employee of the Trump Organization. No better, no worse than the janitor, no better, no worse than the slot machine operator at one of Trump's casinos, or the toilet scrubber, or the dishwasher, or the cook, or someone opening car doors at the valet station. Michael Cohen was just another employee, but he thought because he got to shake Donald Trump's hand and maybe gives him some poor legal advice from time to time, that he is so important, so high and mighty, that he can make a difference in the upcoming race. I want to play for you an excerpt from the Fox News Channel where old Biden is becoming a risky and dangerous president. Even James Carville, the redneck, bald-headed political strategist for the Democrat Party, has no choice but to admit Biden is a liability for the Democrat Party now and into the future.
These polls are stuck in a ditch. And it's been that way for a while. The president's doing terrible with voters under 30 with black voters, which are pretty key to this whole equation here. Right now, it not looking that promising. Drawing these huge crowds, and it's quite concerning out there.
Just a few excerpts from the Anderson Cooper CNN interview with Carville recently, saying that Biden is stuck in a ditch. And it looks really bad because Donald Trump is drawing 100,000 person crowds at the last minute. And it is not a very good thing for the Democrat Party. Some of the polls showing Biden to be in the ditch came from the USA Today, where their polling numbers say Trump leads in five key swing states as voters worry about his economy and the Israel-Hamas war. From The Hill, polling sets off fresh alarm bells for Biden. And from the Washington Post, how in the world is Trump's trial not hurting him? Israel-Hamas war polling sets off fresh alarm bells for Biden. And Fox News poll saying stuck in a ditch, campaign veterans raise alarm over Biden's polling numbers. In fact, a recent New York Times Philadelphia Inquirer Siena College poll taken between April 28th and May 9th of almost 4,100 likely voters with a margin of error of 1.9% says if the election were held today, white folks would vote for Trump 47% to 35%. Blaffrican Americans, who still haven't figured out that Biden and the Democrats have screwed them for the last 70 years, 58% black Biden, 12% black Trump. Hispanics, both at 33% for Biden and for Trump, and people who refuse to identify their race, 36% for Trump versus 30% for gropey Joe Biden. Considering the Blaffrican American population is only 13% of the country, it looks like Trump wins in a landslide if the election were held today. So now I want to break down the polling numbers from that same poll. If the election were held today, 18 to 29-year-old voters, Trump wins 30% to Biden's 26%, with RFK Jr., until he gets found out to be the whack job we all know him to be, sits at 18%. So Kennedy is within 8 points of Biden right now. Amongst 30 to 44-year-old Americans, Trump leads 37% to Biden's 29%, with Kennedy managing 13% as a third-party candidate. Of Americans with a little more season, a little more experience being Americans, of people who have money and are not afraid to spend it, 45 to 64-year-old Americans, Trump 47%, Biden 32%, Kennedy at 8%. And strangely enough, the 65 and older crowd in that poll showed 40% for Trump and 45% for gropey Joe Biden. That one kind of shocked me, with 5% saying they would support Kennedy. That was a little bit scary. However, people over 65 far less likely to be able to get to the polls and make an actual difference, because they say they're going to vote and then they forget where they put their car keys, their dentures, their wallets, etc. And if the weather's bad, well, You might recall here on the Truth Hurts program sometime back around the beginning of Biden's wide open rolling out of the welcome mat and red carpet for illegal, criminal, law-breaking, trespassing, invading migrants at the southern border, I warned you that they may not be able to vote today, but they will teach their children who are growing up in this country, the foreign-born new American citizens of Latino descent. This is the party that let us come into the country and they didn't deporting us, so we wanted you to vote for the Democratos. Illegal immigration that has exploded under President Joe Biden has driven the largest surge in the foreign-born population in America in the history of our nation. According to the Census Bureau, 15.6% of the U.S. population is now foreign-born. A Center for Immigration Studies analysis of the new census numbers says Biden's open border policies have fed the massive increase. And who will they vote for in the future? The party that let their mommies and daddies get into the country unlawfully. In March of 2024, this year, the foreign-born population reached 51.6 million, which is 5.1 million more than in March of 2022, the largest two-year increase ever recorded in American history. And it added that nearly 60% of that increase comes directly from illegal immigrants dropping children on this side of the border. That's right. Knock them up in Mexico, cross the border illegally, spit out a kid or three here in the U.S., and you now have three future Democrat voters. Less than half of those who crossed the border over the past 2 years have jobs, greatly raising the likelihood that you, the taxpayers, are not only footing the bill for them to be in the country now, but will likely foot the bill for their new American citizen offspring in the future. The current scale of immigration, both legal and illegal, into the U.S. is without any precedent in U.S. history, according to a CIS report. Since gropey Joe Biden took presidency in January of 2021, the foreign-born population has increased by 6.6 million. And we have previously estimated that 58% of the increase under Biden is directly due to illegal immigration. If these trends since gropey Joe Biden took office continue, the foreign-born population will reach 62.5 million by 2030 and 82.2 million, or one quarter of our entire population, by the year 2040. And that is larger than the current combined population of 30 states and the District of Columbia. The most fundamental question is that whether America can successfully incorporate and assimilate all of these illegal immigrants that are already here, let alone the millions more that will be coming in the future, thanks to Joe Biden's disgusting, disastrous lack of border security. Since Biden took office in January of 2021, the foreign-born population increased by 6.6 million in just 39 months' time, nearly 60% due to illegal immigrants, and nearly half of them have not found a job yet. Many of the newly arrived illegal immigrants are children, elderly, disabled, or their caregivers, or their people with no ability or interest in getting a job. Only 8% of the 2.5 million new arrivals who are not working have said they're even looking for a job. The dramatic recent increases in the size of the foreign-born population represent net growth to the country, but the number of new arrivals was much higher and, unfortunately, doesn't see any end in sight. Well, there you have it, my friends. Go ahead, vote Joe Biden in again in November, and we might see white folks and black folks and Asian folks in this country far outnumbered by a bunch of Democrat-voting Latinos who will do what they said they would do, take America back from America without firing a shot. Sorry, my friends, it is true, but unfortunately for you, for me, and for our future generations, that truth hurts. We've run out of time for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. Go out there and make it a great day, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye for now. Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you are offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved.